You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. And actually, you know, we are pretty much ready to kiss February goodbye. This is one of those months that just absolutely flies by. There's only 28 days. I saw a person post a few weeks ago that they decided that they were going to fast coffee for February 29th and 30th and February 31st this year. And they got a lot of coffee drinkers who are willing to do that, but just for this year, because there's not even a 29th this year, much less a 30th and a 31st. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pray that you are having a great day. I pray that you're not fasting the Word of God, but you're feasting on the Word of God. I pray that you're not fasting church, but you are feasting in the fellowship that God makes available to us. It is not a have to, it is a get to. And if you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. You know, a lot of times people get in ruts to where they just do the same thing over and over and over and over again, and pretty soon you lose the meaning of why you are doing that. And sometimes you're so entrenched in doing it one certain way that you never try anything new. And I want you to know that even though I've been at Merritt Assembly of God for 33 years, we're not doing things the way that we did it 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. We continue to press forward. So we start ministries. Like a few years ago, we did a small group study on redemptive compassion. We felt very strongly about that. We have done some intense discipleship on Wednesday nights, and now we're ministering to kids, an emphasis on kids and young people, and also ministering to the people who are there around us. So I tell the leadership at the church is like, look, we have two churches that we are pastoring here at the same time. We are pastoring the church as it is, and we're also pastoring the church as God wants it to be in the future. We can't neglect either one of those things. A lot of times people are so focused on the future that they neglect the people who are already there. And many times people are so fixated on just continuing to take care of things the way that they are, and they can never change, and they miss out on the adventure of what God has in the days to come. So if you're new to the area, we will probably not be a perfect fit if you're looking for the church that you came from. And I say that not in any sort of negative way. I just know that I've had a number of people who worshiped at Merritt Assembly of God. Some of them moved to different locations in Florida, and they struggled because they could never find Merritt Assembly of God over there, and that's because Merritt Assembly of God was in Merritt Island. And we've had people who've moved to other parts of the country, and they struggled because they were looking for what they were accustomed to here. On the same hand, there are some people who have moved to this area from other areas, and Some of them have found Merit Assembly of God to be the place where God wants them, and some people have said, you know, I may be better suited over someplace else. We pray for our visitors that God will strategically lead you by His Spirit to the place that you will thrive and be able to serve in your relationship with Him. But we are grateful that we get to worship the Lord with other believers. My life has been enhanced and blessed and improved because of the work of the grace of God in other people's lives. And as they shared their testimonies, it impacted me in a positive way. Today, I'm going to deviate just a little bit from what we have been doing. We just finished going through Psalm 111. We touched on Psalm 112, verse number 4, where it says, "Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He, God, is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." So we've talked about that. But as I mentioned in a program earlier in the week, I had accidentally stumbled upon this phrase "full of compassion" and dug into it to find out that "full of compassion" means that God is absolute compassion, and that it is something that motivates Him in the way that He acts towards His people. So in that study, I found that there were 13 different references to that word that is translated being full of compassion. And one of the reasons, and so then I went comparing it to the notes, things that I already talked about, and found out that some of those places where the word was mentioned, that they didn't show up in my notes, and the reason was because the English translators translated it, instead of "full of compassion," they translated it "merciful." So I'm going to run down today some of the occurrences in the Word of God that it talks about that God is, and it uses this word "full of compassion." So that's what I'm sharing with you. So in Exodus chapter 34, Moses is having an encounter with God. He said, "God, I need you to teach me your ways. God, would you show me your glory?" And God said, "I'm going to cause my goodness and my mercy to pass over you." And this is what it says in Exodus 34, 6. "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful," or full of compassion, "and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth." So when Moses was leading the people out of Egypt through the wilderness and to the brink of the promised land, he had an encounter with God. And when he asked for God to teach Moses his ways and to show him his glory, the way that he started is, "I'm the Lord, I'm the Lord God, and I'm full of compassion and grace. I'm patient, and I'm abounding in goodness and truth." Contrast that with what the world tries to tell us about God now. Now, please understand that in this context, they have just seen God destroy the greatest military might on the face of the earth at that point in time, in Egypt. So, again, you've got to remember that God is absolutely holy. He's absolutely compassionate. He's absolutely righteous. He's absolutely just. And he's all of those things at the same time. And he tells Moses, "I am full of compassion. The reason that I'm ministering to the children of Israel the way that I am is because there is compassion that is coming out of me. It is motivating my actions on their behalf, not because of how great they are, because he says in another place that it's because y'all were so small, so helpless, you literally had nothing to offer. And I said, you know what? I think I can do something with them. Actually, he said, I know I can do something with them. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses is giving one of his sermons to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land, before Moses dies. And he's telling them that at some point in time, they're going to get into the land. They're going to forget about God. They're going to abandon him. And then they're going to come back and have a right relationship. And Deuteronomy 4:31 says, "For the Lord your God is a merciful God." And again, it's that word that means full of compassion. But listen to these attributes that partner with that. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. You might be listening today, and your journey with God has not been a consistent one of holiness. Maybe there's been some bumps in the road. There's been some times you've neglected him. And I want you to understand that the invitation from the throne room of heaven still exists for you to come back to God, and you will find that he is full of compassion for you, that he's never forsaken you. He's not interested in destroying you. He's wanting to redeem you, and he's not forgotten the covenant that was made available through Jesus Christ for our benefit. Okay? So Moses has the first two of these experiences. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, King Hezekiah is getting ready to celebrate the Passover, and he extends an invitation. He says, "For if you return to the Lord, your brethren and your children will be treated with compassion." But wait, that's not the same word here. "By those who lead them captive, so that they may come back to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful." There it is again. Full of compassion, and he will not turn his face from you if you return to him. Hezekiah was extending that invitation to the people who had survived the Assyrian attack on the 10 northern tribes. And he says, if you come back, you're going to find that you are going to be treated with compassion, because God is full of compassion, and he will not turn his face from you. All you've got to do is return to him. I hope that if there's anybody out there today who's listening, maybe you were just cycling through, maybe you just hit the seek button in it, and your radio landed on 91.5 FM for just a second, and you heard it, and you can stop it right there. It doesn't have to continue to seek all through the cycle. Maybe you've been running from God, and I want you to know that if you return to him, God is waiting with compassionate arms, and he's not looking to reject you by turning his face from you, but instead he's looking for you to return to him and be a recipient of his great compassion. There are several references where there is a guy by the name of Rehum, R-E-H-U-M, and that his name is what this word means. He's full of compassion. And so we're not going to talk about those, but I have a card that was given to me recently is about a baseball player. My dad used to have a baseball card store. This guy collects some baseball cards. And there was a rookie card that was generated, I believe, last year. He bought several of them, and the guy's name, I may pronounce this wrong. His name is Jesus Made. But when the name is printed on the card, if you're just reading it in English, it says Jesus Made. I'm not a self-made person. You're not a self-made person. The thing that we really should long for is that we are the people that Jesus has made and is making us to be. So it's just kind of a novelty little gift that he gave. But, man, I hope that the church in Brevard County, that when people see us, they will see that Jesus has been willing to work on us. So in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, and there's two verses in chapter 9. Nehemiah is, in the book of Nehemiah, it's talking about their predecessors, their ancestors. It says, they refused to obey. They were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, listen to this, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, there's that full of compassion, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. We've talked about many of these, but in God's compassion, he stands ready to forgive our sins. The price has already been paid. The process has already been made available. He's just waiting and ready for us. When I go to a grocery store and I see multiple checkout lanes, I'm looking for the person that is standing there ready to serve. And I'll say something like this: I'm the solution to your boredom problem here for just a moment. And they're ready to do their job. I'm ready for them to do their job. And I want you to know that we need to be ready to be forgiven, and God stands ready to forgive. He's slow to anger. He's long-suffering. And he does not forsake us. In verse number 31 of the book of Nehemiah, again, the word is translated merciful, but it's full of compassion. Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for you are God, gracious and merciful, or full of compassion. It's said over and over and over again. So again, Nehemiah chapter 10 has that same guy's name, R-E-H-U-M. We've talked about Psalm 86, that God is a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. We have talked about in Psalm 111, he has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Talked about Psalm 112, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. There is a verse that we haven't talked about, but it's echoed in other verses here. Psalm 103, verse number 8. It says, the Lord is merciful, but it's the same word, full of compassion and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Now, you need to look at Psalm 103, because it is such a great psalm. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender. It is one of the great psalms in the book of Psalm, and right there in the heart of it, we are reminded that God is full of compassion and gracious, abounding in mercy. So in Psalm 145 repeats basically the same truth. It says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Joel chapter 2, which is one of the great prophecies concerning the day of Pentecost, but besides that, it is an announcement to the people that if they do not repent, there is a day of judgment that is coming. And here is the admonition that is given to them in verse number 13. It's a plea for them to return to God. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious, and there's that word again, merciful or full of compassion, slow to anger and of great kindness. And it concludes with this promise, and he relents from doing harm. I was sharing the gospel with someone one time, and they were quite a bit older than I was and younger than what I am now. And I remember them saying, "You don't understand. I have sinned too much for God to ever forgive me." Now, I want you to know that there are a lot of people who believe that. I'd like to identify what that statement is for you. That's a statement of pride. It says, "I know that the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover the sins of the entire world, but it's not enough to cover my sin." That's why you know that mindset is a lie from the pit of hell. That's not a godly mindset. It's the enemy trying to steal a healthy relationship with God from you at the end of your journey. And so here, because God is full of compassion, he is looking for people not who will just go through the external motions, but instead they will be impacted in their heart. They will be so traumatized that they will return to the Lord. And in doing so, God is going to relent from doing any harm. Why? Because he's a God that is full of compassion. He's gracious and he's slow to anger and of great kindness. Have you ever met someone that is just so kind that you thought to yourself, they can't be real? I have, in fact, because it is such an anomaly, I thought that they were putting on an act, only to find out that truly is the way that they are all of the time. And I can tell you this, God is that way all of the time. So those are some of the references. And I just went through them in chronological order, but I wanted to save the last one that's on the page for the very last. Because sometimes we as the people of God can become so embittered towards those who've done us harm that we forget to act with the compassion that we have benefited from, that God has shown to us. In the book of Jonah, Jonah is commanded to go to the people of Nineveh to preach to them that God was going to be judging them. And make no mistake about it, Jonah knows God's called him to do this. Jonah is so motivated by bitterness and hatred to the Ninevites that he says, "I would rather die. I would rather run the opposite direction than fulfill this mission." I want you to understand that there is no room for hatred or racism in the body of Christ. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. And make no mistake about it, the Ninevites were horrible people. They had done violent things. and God was going to judge them, and he did. He ends up judging them, and they are replaced on the global stage by Babylon. But here, he's wanting them to repent. And Jonah runs the opposite way. God sends a storm. Jonah says, look, this is all my fault. Just throw me overboard, and the storms will cease in your life. And they reluctantly do that. The storms die down. They pray and ask for forgiveness. And God prepares a great fish to swallow Jonah. And I recently learned something. I looked it up, and because I don't take anything that anybody says that I've never heard before. I just don't take it at their word. But the Assyrians, the Ninevites, had as one of their deities, one of their deities was represented as a man that emerges from a fish. And so God even used Jonah's rebellion to get the attention of the Ninevites, and they responded. They repented. They went around in sackcloth and ashes. They put sackcloth on their cattle. It caught their attention. There were 120,000 people in the city, and God even took notice of the cattle. And so Jonah chapter 4, and it says this, but it displeased Jonah. Well, let me read 3:10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Man, any pastor that's ever given an altar call and you have a whole city come forward, that would thrill anybody. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are gracious and merciful to God." There, that word is again, full of compassion, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. I want you to know I'm not running from the microphone. If you've done bad things to me, I want you to know I want to see you in heaven. I want to rejoice with you. Probably one of the greatest statements that I ever heard was that the people who were persecuted to death by Saul, after Paul had converted and when he was beheaded for the sake of the gospel, that those people who had been martyred by him rejoiced to see the grace of God in his life, and that he made it to heaven. I pray today that the compassion of God will manifest in your life and my life. See you next week.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.